My first guest this morning has more than 25 years of top-level management experience, garnered from his role as a chief executive of a well-known national business. But Blaise Brosnan's experience as a business advisor also means that he can provide a fresh perspective on how our local businesses are performing. Blaise, I've often heard you say that you believe that the economy runs in cycles. So at this point in time, where are we in this cycle?
I think we're coming out of a cycle. Obviously, the last 6 years or so were on a downturn. But, you know, if you look at the cycles over 100 years or whatever, they all take the same shape over a period of time. Now, we all didn't get into the recession at the one time, so we're not all going to get out of the recession at the one time. But on average, I would say we're on the way out. And, you know, if you take cycles generally, we probably have 5 to maybe 10 reasonably good years out ahead of ourselves.
Now, do you think that there are any particular interventions that have resulted in this upturn in the economy, or has it happened organically?
I think cycles happen organically. They're natural kind of situation. They're like nature. You know, the trees and the... You know, you go out and plant a tree or plant a crop, it grows, it matures, it dies, it's sown again, it grows, matures and dies. And I think business and economies are living organisms, and they too go through cycles. And maybe there's too much credence given to interventions by governments and by various people. I think these natural things, they happen. No, we can juggle around with them, obviously. We can either enhance them or delay them or do that with various interventions. But I think the tsunami of the cycles happen. They're bigger and more macro than, I think, a lot of the interventions.
But do you think that the government could have driven the recovery any faster by introducing grant schemes or looking at putting interventions in place to incentivize people to go out and spend money sooner than they have?
Yeah, you can always, charge prime a pump by adding stuff and, you know, things like quantitative easing and all that. They'll all help and they will enhance and bring forward the natural cycle that will happen if it's anywhere. Again, one has to be careful, I suppose, about where those interventions happen and, you know, who's likely to react to them and, you know, what the knock-on effect of that is through the economy.
Now, there's lots of talk in Europe at the moment about quantitative easing, that there's going to be trillions put into the European system over the coming year. What are your thoughts on that? And do you think that we'll feel the benefit of it here in the Republic of Ireland?
Yeah, I think that... you know, like any pump, you know, the old pump years ago and the wells, you always had to prime them in order to get them working. And I think the economy is a bit like that you know, you have to prime it. And one of the ways to prime it, obviously, is to pump more liquidity into the market. I think Ireland is kind of peculiar within Europe in the sense of we're an island nation. And the way I visualize it is we're like a cock in the water. You know, when things are good, the cock rises very high. When things are bad, we kind of go down very deeply. And I think it'll never be any different than that. We can juggle around a bit with it, but... you know, we're generally probably a couple of years ahead of the curve, as I say, in the sense of the growth in Ireland now is again ahead of Europe. And, you know, I think that will always be the case.
Now, there definitely is a recovery taking place across County Dublin and also probably in Cork City and County. But the rest of the country is lagging behind that. How far behind do you think the rest of the country really is?
Well, it's natural that things would always start to boil over in the centres of activity like Dublin or maybe Cork or whatever, right? But if you look at how long it takes to percolate out through the country, the way I would look at the country is kind of 5 cycles. The first cycle is within the M50 in Dublin, and it's only when that's boiling that the next cycle tends to be impacted, which is probably about 25 miles circle of Dublin, or maybe Cork. And, you know, the next cycle then probably is about 70-mile cycle, and then the 5th cycle takes in the whole country. Now, generally, if you look at the time lag between the centre and the peripheral, you're probably looking at about 5 years, I'd say, in order for the thing to come out long.
Now, it has often been said that County Wexford had an over-reliance on the construction sector in the days of the boom. Have we become less reliant on it over the last 7 years, and can you see new and different businesses emerging from that?
Well, we obviously become less reliant on it because it wasn't there. So by default, we became less reliant on it. But, you know, if you travel the road to Dublin at 6 o'clock on a Monday morning, you'll pass out lots of vans. And it's one of the lead indicators that I use myself, because I'm often on the road early in the morning. And I often count the number of trucks or vans that I pass in a particular space. And in a way, if that number is going up, it's a lead indicator that things are starting to happen. So a lot of the people that went away from construction and had to over the last 4, 5, 6 years, I think lots of those will drift back into it again, because that's where the demand will be. There's nothing wrong with Wexford being dependent, I think, on construction, or dependent on anything. You know, it will suffer when the cycles are bad, and it'll gain when the cycles are good. And I suppose the advice I'd be giving business people is that when things are good, you need to build your balance sheet. I think too many businesses at the end of the Celtic Tiger came into the beginning of the recession, I think, with poor balance sheets, you know. And that's kind of a reflection, I think, that there's lots of people out there that are good at the operational side of their business, but they're not necessarily good at the business side of their business. You know, a lot of people thought they were business people because there's a lot of money going through the system, but there was very little of that money that they owned. It was owed to everybody else, you know, suppliers, revenue, payroll, everything. The amount of money that was available to the client themselves was very small, but they didn't really realise that, I think, you know.
So what you're advising business people to do is build their cash reserve?
Build their cash reserve, build their balance sheet, understand that they're in commerce. And in commerce, you have to watch two things in particular. You have to watch margins and you have to watch cash flow. Every business needs to have quite strict, I think, KPIs in relation to both of those. Turnover is a bit like golf, you know. You drive for glory, but you putt for dough, you know. And I think the putting equivalent in golf is cash flow management and margins.
They say turnover is vanity, profit is sanity.
Absolutely.
Now, in relation to your own work, you seem to have your finger on the pulse of what's happening in business across the Southeast through your work with the local enterprise office network and also through the delivery of your management development programme that you've been doing for over 20 years now. What are you seeing out there? What industries seem to be going well and which seem to be lagging behind? And from the profile of those that are attending the management development courses across the Southeast, is the profile changing?
I think it's difficult. Obviously, retail has been very badly hit and is slow on the way back, right? When this time last year, one could say construction was slow on the way back, but I think that's starting to move now. I'd be, rather than kind of differentiate it by industry type, I'd be more inclined to differentiate it by people type, right? And just give you an example that might be of interest to your listeners. 3 weeks ago, I was in two businesses in one day, right? The first one I was asked to go and have a look at, and I'd never been in the business before, and they were up and running, they are up and running about 10 years. And they've been a tough space, even, and I have a reasonable idea of the kind of other people in that space. And I looked through the business anyway, and I sat at the board table with the two owners of the business. And the thought really struck me that these guys are not going to make it. They've come through the 6 difficult years, but I think mentally they're broken. They have no energy. They know the theory and all that in relation to what they have to do, but I just don't think they have it. I think they're kind of beaten in their own head. And it was very interesting. The same evening, the same day, I was at a board meeting of a company and a very successful business. And this year, their turnover will be about 15 million, showing a profit of just short of 1.5 million. And the board wasn't a bit happy. And I looked around the board table and I said, lads, that's great. You know, you're not happy with 1.5 million. And I was giving them the example of the business I was in that morning. One was fighting, not happy. the others were, in my, I think, were kind of defeated, really. And they were talking about existing. And I think that's the differential between people that are going to be more successful going forward versus those that won't be. You know, is there a fight there? Have they clarity about what they want? Have they hunger to go after it? If they don't know, if they need help, where can they go for it? And to be open to help. And I think it's that fighting spirit. These are the people who are going to exploit the better trading environment that we're going to go into over the next number of years.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point you're making about that, Blaise. I suppose after the 6 or 7 years we've gone through in business, there's probably two types of businesses left out there now in the whole, and they're those that are financially challenged or those that are mentally drained.
I think the mentally drained is actually a bigger issue than the financially, because finance nearly can always be got in some shape or form if the proposition and the person driving the proposition is correct. You know, but if the person that's supposed to be driving the proposition is not clear about what they want and really doesn't give the indication that they know what they're about or that they have the energy for it, I think they'll find it difficult to get the money in behind them, you know.
So what you're really saying is that those that are in survival mode, they need to get their head out of that space, set goals for the business and take action. But for those that are, I suppose, just tired.
Tired, yeah.
They're mentally tired and drained.
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, the bad news that has come at them over the last 7 years, the drop in demand for their goods or services, that has all got to them. The pressure from the banks or from their own creditors has got to them. Okay, let's say there's somebody listening to this morning's show and they're in that situation. What advice would you give them?
I'd say they need help anyway, because they're not going to be able to do it on their own accord, right? And they should come to the local enterprise office and maybe get a mentor or sit down with somebody who kind of understands their business a bit and will give them a bit of guidance and a bit of hand-holding in that, because, you know, if they did it once, they should be capable of doing it again. But they're just in a bad place, I think, kind of, they're broken, really. And I think a number of them obviously can be rescued and helped along the way. I think others probably have got such a fright and have suffered so much, I don't think they probably won't fight back for the next cycle, which is sad.
If you've just tuned in, Blaise Brosnan from the Management Resource Institute has been speaking about the important role in which a business owner's mindset plays in determining the success or failure of their company. We're going to take a short commercial break now, but Blaise will be staying with us, and when we return, Blaise will be revealing the success that can be achieved from treating your business like a game. So stay tuned for that. Southeast Radio. Welcome back to Southeast Radio's Business Matters with me, Carl Fitzpatrick. Before the break, business advisor and consultant Blaise Brosnan shared his thoughts about the intangible factors that can contribute to business success. Blaise, it's great to see confidence returning to the market, but what are the lessons that need to be addressed in order to ensure that this increased business activity can be sustained in the years ahead?
Again, I'm often asked that confidence and things like that. There's one question I'm always asked. Might be asked 100 different ways, but it's always the same question. And the question is, you know, what's the most important ingredient for business success? And, you know, you could answer that question 100 different ways, but the way I answer it, and I've thought a good bit about it, is clarity of purpose. You can't, if you're not clear about what you're about or trying to achieve, it's very difficult then to have energy, sustained energy, and to encourage others to help you along the way. So I would say, if I was to isolate out one thing for any business person, you know, they should spend a bit of time to clarify out and crystallize out what game are they in or what game do they want to be in going forward. I think for once they've that done, it's far easier than to work out how they're going to do it. And there's always help out there if somebody is going somewhere. You know, people will always fall in behind somebody that's going somewhere, somebody that has a purpose, that understands what they're about, that are not just spinning on the spot. There's traction forward. And, you know, there's investors out there, there's the lending institutions eventually will. They're always looking, everybody's looking for a good jockey, basically.
Clarity of purpose. Right? It's a phrase that might mean an awful lot to listeners this morning.
Yeah.
Really, it's goal setting.
Well, it's goal setting, but it's being clear about what customer you're after, type of customer you're after, what pain have they, and what your solution to that pain is and how you can make money out of it. Because there's no point in having, like, the only reason anyone is in business really at the end of the day is to optimize the bottom line. In order to do that, you have to be solving somebody's problem and you have to do it in a commercially advantageous way. And, you know, just being good at the job you're doing is not enough. You have to understand the commerce as well, I think, around it, you know. And it's not rocket science. You know, every day that you open the business, it costs money. So you have to make more money than it costs in order to have a surplus. And you have to collect that surplus. And, you know, reinvest it if the project is right. And, you know, get a bit of help. There's lots of help out there, Carl, as you and I know. But people have to go, they have to look for it. And they have to have a better idea about who can help them. But they have to be open to help as well. You know, you and I know people that are very open to help and to stay for them. Others, that maybe they're too shy or maybe they're too proud or they're too whatever, to go looking for help. And, you know, they're the people that will find it difficult, I think, to come out of the recession in a fairly smart way.
But they need to know that there's nobody there to judge them.
Oh, no, absolutely. There's a big, you know, like you take the agencies, like the local enterprise offices and the people that are associated with them, you know, they're there to help. They're anxious to help, you know. And see, most of these people don't need a lot of help, but they do need a bit. They need a bit of guidance. They need a bit of reassurance, really. And it's all about, I think, trying to help them to win the debate in their own head a bit. Because everything starts in our own head, I believe, you know.
And look, as businesses begin to prepare for the upturn, what advice would you give them?
Obviously, to seek help, to adopt the role model as well. Because, you know, there's always somebody within 5 or 10 miles of us that is probably, is doing the thing well, whatever the game is, right? And we should kind of understand how they're doing it and can we role model ourselves off them, you know? Sometimes I think people, particularly in small business, they tend to try and adopt role models that are not relevant to them. They read books or they look at documentaries or whatever of guys that maybe made millions in America or somewhere else. I think the role models that we should be adopting are very close. They're in our parish, basically. They're in our towns. And we should look at those and say, okay, how's that guy or that lady doing it? Can I learn something from those? And kind of use that as a bit of guidance for ourselves going forward.
Fergal Quinn joined me on the show recently, and the point that he made on the show was that something that changed his business forever was he subscribed to an industry journal on the supermarket industry from the US. So once a month, he had a magazine that landed on his desk showing him about all of the innovations that were taking place within the supermarket industry, whether that was the introduction of a deli counter or whether it was baking bread within the supermarket or whatever the case may be, whatever was changing. He was ahead of the curve here in Ireland because he could see what was happening internationally. How important is that?
I think critical, yeah. I was having a meeting yesterday in a family business, and the next generation are in now, just about coming in, right? And we're trying to help them to manage the transition from one generation to another. It's quite a good business. And one of the pieces of advice I give, there's three of the next generation in now and senior management positions within the. And one of the pieces of information or advice I gave them yesterday was buy plane tickets. And get out there and see in their space in Germany and places like that, you know, the good operators. Get out there, go to shows, go to training programs, do seminars, because you get very dull behind your own desk, behind your own bench all of the time. There's one business I know not 100 miles from where you and I are sitting now, and very successful business, and I know it since the day it started. And one of the things that guy did in the early years, he used to borrow money to go to shows in Germany and various places, right? And he found that was that important to do it. Now, you should look at his business here. His business here is a direct reflection of what he saw out there at those situations. Other people had the same opportunities as he had, and they're doing the same thing today as they did 20 years ago. So we do need to get out there and see what's happening out there, because that's what education is, broader sense, is about, really.
I had the opportunity to judge the local heat of the Best Young Entrepreneur competition. I was very impressed not only by the innovative ideas that formed the basis for their businesses, but also with the commercial nous that they displayed. How important is it to promote and foster entrepreneurialism amongst our younger generations, and what more can be done in this area?
I think it's critical. I was also involved in that program in a few other counties, and I too was impressed with, they were all under 30 years of age, and some great ideas, but not alone good ideas, but they had a kind of a structure behind them in order to convert the idea, those ideas into practice and make it commercial, right? And, you know, the bit of recognition for those that went forwards and won the regional, that won the All-Islands or whatever, I think that's fantastic. But I think there was 1,000 people in total got involved in that competition. And I think every one of them would have gained something worthwhile from the process. Even if they didn't win, I believe they were still winners. And I think more and more of those kind of competitions, because competitions tend to bring the best out in us. There's something in us, in our Irish psychic, that we like to try and beat the odds. And in a way, I remember having a professor in Trinity years ago, Jeff McHackney, the man is dead now, but I can only remember about two things he ever told us, but it was worthwhile going and sitting in front of him for a few years. And one of them was, he said, if we could think of our business as a game, he said, we'd be far better at it. And it is a game, you know. We set out to achieve something. We have to put a team together in order to make it happen. We have to have tactics on the day, and we have to go and play, and we have to judge the results on the score. And, you know, I think if we looked at our business as a bit of a game, you know, if you looked at it now, say coming out of the recession, and I would be advising people like this, you know, this is a game now. There's a competition out in front of us. Are you going to be fit to be able to win that competition and do yourself good? And I think we Irish people, I think we're good at rising to the challenge. We're not as good maybe when we're favourites, but when we're the underdogs, we're very good, I think. You take any of the Irish teams or any team, any Gaelic team or rugby team or whatever, when they're expected to lose, there's a fair chance they'll win. Now, I think if we could bring that spirit back into our business, there's a game to be played out ahead of us. We need to get fit to play the game. We need to organise it. And, you know, my advice to people is, let's have a go, but do it in a kind of a structured and an organised way.
Yeah, just in relation to business awards and competitions, I suppose one area there that an awful lot of people wouldn't be familiar with is that by taking part in any competition or any award ceremony, they get an opportunity for maybe two or three fresh pairs of eyes to come in and look through their application or their business plan and meet them face to face and ask them a number of questions about their business itself. And an awful lot of the time, the questions that are asked by judges at these competitions will allow somebody to go away with a different mindset regarding their business and rethink how they're doing something, or secondly, pick up some great feedback from the judging panel about how to maybe make improvements into their business.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you. And, you know, people that are going to be successful are open to that kind of stuff. People that are not going to be successful become defensive and they take umbrage to kind of comments like that, right? And the chances are they'll never go anywhere, you know. But people that embrace it and are open to it and are kind of bit like a sponge, really, in some ways, because none of us is the full shilling. Neither you nor I nor anybody out there. Nobody can do it all on their own, right? We all need help in different ways. But we have to be open to it. You know, there's nobody going to force themselves on anyone to help them. You know, it has to come and we have to kind of suck it into ourselves. And, you know, some of the best business people I know and have been associated with over the last 20 or 30 years, you know, they're always open to new ideas. They'll always ask you, me, you know, when I'm in with them, have you seen anything out there that could be of some advantage to us? There's a hunger there, but there's also, I think, they don't have the attitude we know it all.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Blaise. And certainly, I think the key message from this interview has been the mindset needs to change. As Albert Einstein once said, the thinking that will get you where you are today is not the thinking that will get you where you want to be tomorrow. So the mindset needs to change. People need to be open to new ideas. They need to take feedback in a very positive manner.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. And I think all of us, you know, you in the media and, you know, people like myself, anyone that's in a position that we're dealing with lots of different people and as part of our day-to-day work, I think we have an obligation because we are the influencers, whether we like it or not. You know, people are taking up their, they're taking the signals from us. And I think that puts a lot of responsibility on us. And I think we should be aware of it. But that's the game we're all in. I think in lots of ways, we're trying to influence others to achieve what they're capable of achieving. If we do that, I think we'll have contributed something to society as we move along.
Well, that was Blaise Brosnan from the Management Resource Institute. And I'd like to thank him for his contribution to this morning's show.